All right, let's head over to the Zoom line. We've got Mr. Kunal Patel joining us with the Dallas Federal Reserve, and their latest survey has been released. March 26th was the official release date. It is April 1st today, and we have snow. Some roads are being shut down here in Minnesota, North Dakota. Kunal Patel, you're down in Dallas. How's the weather down there?
It is sunny. That's what I would call it. I'm looking out the window. You know, it's like I think they would call it partially cloudy.
Now, I've read reports when like they'll just shut down the interstate if you get like a quarter of an inch of snow down in Dallas. Like people don't know how to drive, they're not prepared. Up here, man, we're still getting it. I mean, next weekend we even have it in the forecast already. So we're kind of hoping for maybe a Easter without snow this year. That'd be nice. But anyway, let's get to some energy topics here as we kind of get through some chit chat, weather talk here in the beginning. But March 26th was the release date of this, and you do these quarterly surveys. The Dallas Federal Reserve, and of course down in the Permian and the Haynesville and Eagle Ford over in Louisiana as well. A lot of energy activity for not only the nation but the planet. So these surveys are extremely important for those individuals that it impacts. And let's talk a little bit about what this survey saw, what you asked, and what your takeaways were. So just kind of a brief state of the union. What was the key takeaway that you got from this survey this quarter?
Absolutely. Let me just quickly just give a quick overview of the survey just for
Sure.
everyone that may not be fully familiar. So it's a quarterly survey, like Jason mentioned. We have 200, about 200 upstream oil and gas firms located or headquartered in our 11th district, like Jason mentioned, Texas, southern New Mexico, northern Louisiana. The data for the survey was collected March 12th to 20th, and we had 130 energy firms respond. And so it's a mix of E&P firms and support services firms. The title of our release this time was Oil and Gas Activity Edges Higher, Uncertainty Rising, Costs Increase. So in many ways, you can kind of get some takeaways within that. Just like I mentioned, we have this activity index, and what we saw was, it edged up on a quarter-over-quarter basis in the first quarter of 2025. That was along with oil production and natural gas production. So you're seeing it just slowly tick up. We had outlooks, they turned a little bit negative in the first quarter. So maybe slight pessimism among firms. The uncertainty index jumped. That just points to rising uncertainty about the outlook. We had cost increase at a faster pace. We had employment remain roughly unchanged. Overall, key point in the survey, business activity showed little growth this quarter, while respondents noted a heightened level of uncertainty due to geopolitical risk, trade policy, and other factors that are mentioned throughout the survey. I should mention that one thing that respondents or viewers like to look at the survey for the first quarter is because we have our oil breakevens by basin. And the main takeaway was the average price, which firms need to profitably drill a new well, in the latest survey was $65 per barrel. That's up about $1 from last year. You can also, look at the results by just on an average basis, large firms versus small firms. Large firms defined as producing more than 10,000 barrels a day, their average breakeven was $61 per barrel. And then for the smaller firms, those are the ones that are producing less than 10,000 barrels a day, 66. Midland and Delaware Basin in the Permian, they were lower than the survey average. And of course, there's a wide range in each of the basins.
Unpacking some of the stuff you mentioned here, uncertainty was my first note that I wrote down. What were some of the questions or what were some of the responses that led you to put uncertainty in the headline? It seemed like that was one of the main themes. What's the takeaway from the uncertainty slice, if you will?
So glad you brought it up. For uncertainty, so we actually have an index called the Uncertainty Index, and we ask our respondents this quarter versus the last, how has your uncertainty changed about your 6-month outlook? We take the percentage of firms that report increase minus the percentage of firms that report decrease, and then we get an index value. So that index in the latest survey was 43, and it increased by 21. Now, I should mention that the average value for that survey since for that index since we started the survey was 22. So last survey, we were very close to that average, and now we've moved above that average. Now, we are still not at the highest level for that index. And I should also mention this is kind of checking the change quarter over quarter. It doesn't have like an absolute value which you can track. Now, why is this important? So it suggests that uncertainty is rising for firms. And we can look at the index, and then we can also look at some of the comments that respondents provide in the survey. Now, I should mention each response in the comment section, there are the view of the individual executive. We at the Dallas Fed don't endorse these comments, and these comments can be from a wide spectrum of topics. And some of these topics in the latest survey include commodity prices, uncertainty, like I mentioned, industry consolidation. There's just a variety of topics that kind of are mentioned, and in some ways these may be influencing the uncertainty. Some of the uncertainty I should also mention though is that when there is volatility in oil prices, that can drive uncertainty. Generally though, the price tends to impact the outlook. And in our latest survey, the index for the outlook was -5, so slight pessimism. But I should mention that the average for that index is around 20. So generally, like what we've seen is that executives are slightly optimistic and slightly uncertain. And in this survey, we found that they were slightly pessimistic and a little bit more uncertain than usual.
Well, sometimes pessimism is nothing more than experience. We have to remember that, folks. Sorry about that. We were just having that talk in a meeting earlier today. Tried to stay hopeful in a certain area, and we were like, sometimes pessimism is just experience. You're just observing certain things over and over again. One of the reasons that people like to be pessimistic, if you will, is because of methane regulations or EPA type of regulations. My guess is there's something in the survey about tariffs. Two-part question. What was discussed on tariffs, and was that part of the uncertainty, or does that not become part of the uncertainty in the oil and gas?
So, great question on tariffs. What we did was we thought this would be a great special question to ask. For this survey, we asked the special question to our oilfield services firms. So, the question reads out, what impact do you expect the 25% steel import tariffs to have on your customer demand for 2025? And again, as many of you know on the listening in, the main customer for oilfield services firms are E&P firms. And the office firms thought that 55% selected decrease slightly. So they were thinking that there would be some slight impact to their customer demand for this year. But the second most selected response was no impact. And so, it's kind of a little bit mixed. Some are thinking a slight decrease. And then, of course, the next thing is just no impact. And I think when we think about tariffs, it depends on which tariffs people are thinking about. I think the one that currently that is in place is the 25% steel import tariffs. Steel is an important part in the well, but generally most people estimate it to be around 15% of the average well. And so if you add in the 25% steel tariff, you get an increase in the cost of the well. If I do that math, I get about 4%. I think from context, we've heard numbers around 4, sometimes maybe a little bit below, maybe a little bit more. And so it is an important part of the well, but it isn't like an incredible big percentage once you do that math. And so most selected responses decrease slightly, followed by no impact. That was the main question in the latest release around tariffs.
Kunal Patel, our guest, he's with the Dallas Federal Reserve. They have their latest quarterly survey available right now. One of the other areas of uncertainty, which can bring many good successes to many people, is mergers and acquisitions. What's the latest on mergers and acquisitions, and how did people respond on that question?
Sure, Jason. So when it came to M&A, you can, I think the most straightforward thing we had in the survey was we asked a question. It was start of the year. I thought this was a great time to ask. And the question we asked all of our respondents is, what are your expectations for the total merger and acquisition deal value for the U.S. upstream oil and gas sector in 2025 versus 2024? And we use the word deal value. So that's the total dollar amount, comparing it for this year versus last. What are their expectations? And what we found was, I think it was defined as a little bit more mixed. So 37%, their most, that was the highest. So the most selected response was increased slightly. That was selected by 37% of executives. But then I should mention 22% selected decreased slightly. And then 18% selected remain close to 2024 levels, and it decreased significantly. I know it's kind of hard to read, go through all these numbers, but the main thing is that while the most selected response was for it to increase slightly, there was quite a few that still also mentioned decrease significantly and decrease slightly. It's kind of hard when you look at the chart, what is the overall direction, but I think it's kind of neutral. It's saying that the deal value this year may be similar to last. It's important to remember, though, that 2023 was kind of a record year. It slowed in 2024. And so it still may be strong, even if you have it at a similar level. If you just use it off the top response, that's increased slightly. Of course, this has different implications for firms. Obviously, on the E&P side, we see the consolidation. There's fewer and fewer firms. On the OFS side, we've heard from contacts that as these firms consolidate, it just means fewer and fewer customers for them.
All right, a couple questions left here, Kunal Patel. One that really kind of stood out when as I was kind of skimming in preparation for the interview is that which of the following is the main cost component for your regulatory compliance of your firm? And legal and administration is like 60%, and then monitoring is, right above 20. So it's just a drop beyond belief. Is that normal? Have you asked a question like this before? I mean, I know that oil and gas companies have been allocating a lot of resources towards legal over the past decade, but this was just like it jumped out at me. Has this been a trend, or was this a big jump? Have you noticed?
So this is the first time we've asked this specific question.
Well, that makes sense then why it jumped out. Okay.
What we so we talk with contacts in a region. They talk about regulatory compliance. They mention specific things that might be driving it. We think of the top. I try to make it easy to read, so I think of the top five, right? Put it into a question. So for all the listeners in, the other options were monitoring, abatement, financial penalties, and others. So we were thinking monitoring, you monitor whether it's emissions, but it could also be like permits, right? Regulatory compliance
Would
is
like equipment, monitoring equipment be under that as well?
That would be correct. So we did give them in the question before this, we did give them guidance that when you think about regulatory compliance, think of it as that it includes permitting cost, environmental, hiring, and labor practices. But it says including, so you might include some other things, but monitoring likely means the equipment for emissions. Abatement would probably be the limiting of these emissions coming out, but it could also be related to I don't know, produced water. There's a variety of things that could fall under regulatory compliance. I think, like you mentioned, it kind of stood out that the main cost component for these firms was legal and admin. And that could, again, if you're filing a permit, there may be a lot of legal and admin that goes into that. Environmental could be a mix of all three. Hiring and labor practices could again be legal and administrative. So it could also depend on how you ask the question. If the question was the main regulatory cost was related to methane emissions, maybe you'd get a different response, or maybe you'd get the same one. It's kind of hard to say. It's hard to speculate, essentially.
So the last question I have for you before we take a moment to kind of recap and do kind of a quasi commercial for the survey, I've joked with a number of oil and gas professionals over the past decade that the way the economy is going and some of the different oil companies with the diversification and that sort of thing. It's not going to surprise me if I see like a Verizon, Chipotle, Exxon company where there's that many mergers, where it ends up being an oil company, a fast food, and a cell phone company all as one company. And everybody scoffs at it and blows it, just rolls their eyes at it. And I get it. And I'm being kind of facetious. But at the same time, I'm also saying the energy companies are really becoming diversified in a lot of ways that are outside of traditional energy and even biomass and some of the other things. Do you guys ever get into any diversification questions with your surveys, whether it be, are you into biomass or what kind of research are you working on when it comes to, non-traditional revenue streams or something like that? Are you following the question at all, by the way?
So I'm trying to think of if there's something I can reference where we mentioned that. As you know, in similar to your conversations, right? Oil and gas companies, main business, produce oil, sell it. But many of these companies have moved into new businesses, right? Renewables, CCUS, hydrogen. And it also depends on the type of firm, right? As firms get larger and larger, they may have the manpower and the capital to do so. We don't really have too many of those specific, I think, types of questions where you can where it kind of goes into diversification. I also think that the diversification may be more related to energy, right? Where they have some type of knowledge which they can apply to it. I know that last quarter we did ask a question, what percentage of firms have plans to invest in renewables? And among the large firms producing 10,000 barrels a day or more, 7% plan to do so. And so I think that there's continuing a push of, diversify. It's more likely to be the larger firms. They kind of think about how they want to go about investing in these different things. But I should mention in this latest survey, we didn't really ask any special questions around their look to diversify outside energy, and then even within energy, we just didn't have a special question on it.
Right. I was just kind of curious what direction in the past, because, like I've mentioned, BP and Shell and some of the big ones have gotten into the biomass and some of the other areas. But I am starting to hear trickles of energy companies getting into, fire-resistant clothing stores because they have so many employees that have fire-resistant clothing. Well, they might as well open up a store and sell to other people too. And so when I start seeing non-traditional revenue like that, that's what I always go back to. Yep, I'm going to see a Verizon, Chipotle, Exxon in my lifetime. Good. All right. I can't wait to see the mergers that take place through this long con or long format that happens with the economy and mergers and buyouts and diversifications of portfolios and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, so let's do a little bit of a recap on the survey and how people can get it, how they can be a part of it, and what you want people to take away from it.
Absolutely. So we run this survey quarterly. Our next survey release is July 2nd, 2025. You can see all of our releases on our Dallas website. So it's dallasfedfed.org. If you're an executive in our region, we invite you to join the survey. You can do that through the website. We appreciate you continuing to follow the survey.